This is a soundscape called House Sounds by the composer Anthea Haddow. It's from Theater Cryptic's production of Tunnel Visions. Theater Cryptic's a performing arts company in Glasgow, Scotland. Kathy Boyd's the group's artistic director. Tunnel Visions is a stage production based on the true story of the Collier brothers. Franz Lids is the author of Ghosty Men, the strange but true story of the Collier brothers, New York's greatest hoarders. Homer and Langley Collier lived in Harlem in the early 1900s.
Homer, the older one, was an admiralty lawyer on Wall Street. He used to walk 10 miles every day to Wall Street to his job until he quit one day because they found out that his shoes were not shod properly, and his boss offered to give him a $5 raise, and he never came back and never collected his last check. Langley, the younger brother, was a concert pianist who actually played at Carnegie Hall and quit the concert stage because Paderewski had played and got better notices than he. And he said, why go on? So they lived together in Harlem in this huge brownstone and just shut themselves off from the world with junk that they brought up from the street.
One of the things that I think is so appealing about this story is that they seem to be normal when you're first introduced to them. One was an admiralty lawyer, the other was a concert pianist, their father was a gynecologist, they lived in a lovely brownstone home. But you shortly begin to realize that there was probably something odd about them from very early on, don't you think?
Yes. In fact, they have certain tendencies that their own father had, which was hoarding, and of course, Collier brothers are known as the quintessential hoarders. And neighbors always saw them dragging in things from the street at night. Homer was bedridden for the last decade or so. He had a stroke, and Langley was basically his brother's keeper, dragging in the detritus of the New York streets and really the night. And it was... It was an unusual story even after the Depression when everyone was saving everything because they had money. They had, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in the bank and came from a family with money, but yet they sort of refused to spend any money and had no electricity or water, running water or gas. It was all shut off.
As you write in the book, a journalist named Helen Warden discovered the Collier brothers. She actually interviewed Langley, and Langley didn't see anything odd about her asking him all those questions?
No, he was sort of standoffish. I mean, they valued their privacy, but he was willing to talk to people. No one really ever saw Homer after his stroke. He was kind of flat on his back, and his brother used to feed him 100 oranges a week in this sort of odd attempt to cure his blindness. By the way, it didn't work, but his father being a gynecologist, they knew all about medicine. So,
in fact, didn't he tell another reporter or a bank manager or something that they had 15 shelves of medical books and no, they didn't need any help or something?
Oh, they had thousands of medical books just left over from their father's library. And they considered themselves medical experts who didn't need outside help or electricity or gas or telephones, which was shut up because way back in the 1920s, they'd gotten a long-distance phone bill that they insisted they didn't make, and so they just had the service shut off. Yeah, they were very amiable people, at least Langu was, in his way, and he would sit on the porch for hours talking to neighbors, but he was... Both of them were oblivious to all the changes going on in Harlem.
Did they ever explain, did Langley ever say why he had all of these things in the house, why he kept dragging them back?
Well, I think he just wanted to create his own world of junk. And these were the kind of symbols of civilization. And he could have his own universe in this old mansion without any people in it. So he was basically creating his own little world.
Well, let's go back to the moment. It was 1947. The police got a call that Homer was dead. But they'd had other calls like that before, hadn't they?
Yeah, you know, there'd been so many rumors about the Collier brothers that they were always supposed to be, you know, either dead or fled the country or were hiding in their basement. So, yeah, this is one of many, and this one turned out to be true. Some anonymous caller. What had happened was somebody had noticed that all these cats had been massing on the doorstep that had usually been fed at night by Langley, and they'd been just meowing for days because no one had showed up to feed them. So somebody got the idea to call the police and say maybe one of them is dead, and police broke in.
What did they find when they came into the house? Because they did finally get in looking for Homer, and they found him there.
Yes, they found him actually kind of bent up. He couldn't move. He was paralyzed, and he'd actually starved to death maybe up to 2 weeks earlier, and he was surrounded by a rotting apple and papers from 30 years before, and he was surrounded by literally tunnels of newspapers that went through the house. The whole house was basically these kind of catacombs that were booby-trapped with huge cinder blocks so that no one could ever break in, or if they did try to break in, they would be crushed.
And they found Homer.
They found Homer.
And then there was a worldwide search for Langley. They thought he'd killed his brother or something and run away?
Well, people weren't quite sure what had happened, and there was all kind of speculation about it. And he was sighted on subways, and he was sighted, you know, on trains in North Carolina and in ports of call all over the world. And police checked this stuff out. None of it came out to be true. And then almost 3 weeks after Homer was found, while cleaning out the floor that Homer had been found on, Langley was found buried under a pile of paper, actually 10 feet away. He'd been carrying a tray of food to his older brother and had sprung one of his own booby traps. They found him sort of partially eaten by rats. And all that time that the search had been going on, he was just, you know, only a few yards away.
Well, and they had, I gather, just about everything imaginable inside that house.
Yes, except women, who were never allowed in. It was an all-male club. I think there were some girly posters from the turn of the century, but never women. There were 9 grand pianos. There was a disassembled Model T Ford in the basement and all kinds of antiques that were basically worthless because they're in such a state of disrepair.
And I think I remember reading about a two-headed baby.
A two-headed baby that was seen once but never really turned up in the auctioning process. The two-headed baby was from their father's collection. He was, of course, the gynecologist, and it had been a fetus that was stillborn that he had in a formaldehyde jar.
Franz Lids is the author of Ghosty Men, the strange but true story of the Collier brothers, New York's greatest hoarders. And this is music from Theater Cryptic's production of Tunnel Visions, a stage production based on the story of the Collier brothers. This is called In Another Time. It's by composer Anthea Haddow. Franz Lids' book about the Collier brothers also includes another true story about hoarding. This one concerns Lids' uncle Arthur. His mother called him the lost Collier brother. I asked Franz Lids if writing this book helped him come to terms with his uncle Arthur's tendency to collect stuff.
It was therapeutic for me in a way, just because I sort of involuntarily found myself going to the dump and throwing things away. I've never really come to terms with Arthur's hoarding habit. As a kid, it used to fascinate me just that he'd created this world of his own, this kind of strange, crowded funhouse. But as an adult, it just seemed sort of creepy, especially the unsanitary side of it. So made me understand it a little better, but I don't know if I've exactly come to terms with it.
Franz Lids talking about his Uncle Arthur's hoarding habits.